mother. This is a photo shoot. Who goes home for Mother's Day?
You're a terrible person.
I am.
Dutiful daughter.
My mom just had surgery. She's a cyborg now. She's got a metallic knee.
And the cutest dog ever.
My mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we're going to get a metallic dog. No, she's got the whole, they took out her knee and put like some sort of Terminator knee in there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Science and technology. Thank you for coming along. All of you want to email today, don't send anything ever, ever again to 970.am because it doesn't actually, what's the word, work! Doesn't actually operate properly or function correctly in any real way.
Maybe it's on the way back.
What? What do you mean? From where?
Armenia.
Maybe all the
Armenian transatlantic cable
maybe
is backed up.
They send the email. Maybe when somebody sends something to, you know, like Rick at 970.am, maybe they actually, the email gets printed out somewhere and like a pigeon has got to carry it to Armenia where a guy then hacks it out on a tablet. Another guy then has to make smoke signals out of it. A third person has to tattoo it on their skin. And then they have to pray to a great Armenian spirit god in the sky to get their 286 working before they can send it over here. Maybe that's how it works. That would explain why nothing actually operates that's sent to that address. Not that I'm embittered about it in any way. It's 503-733-2970. I'm still all over this Rick Emerson the musical idea. That's the best idea I've ever come up with. I ought to just retire right now. Yeah. I'm never going to come up with anything better than
maybe
that.
Maybe we should make the musical first.
It'd be like Cop Rock, except it's this show. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just saying. You just file that away. We're going to do that. That's good times. We've already got... We could do, like, a whole choir version of the Penis Watch. You know, or some, like, metallic version of it or whatever. Come on, it's... We'll get different area bands to participate. Think of the cross-promotional opportunities, Susan Reynolds in marketing. All right. I'm just saying. It's 503-733-2970. I think it is... Some sort of a chemical that's leaking into this room.
It's called lack of air. It's what happens when the astronauts... This is like what happened in Apollo 13.
They all got giddy.
Yeah, when they told them to use duct tape and use the vacuum cleaner nozzles to be able to breathe.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. We're getting we're getting carbon monoxide wackiness. All right, it's...
Getting the bends?
It's... It's 503.
Back into the command module.
All right. Everybody into the limb. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up later on. We got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. He's going to talk about the idiot, embarrassing Minutemen who are an abomination.
There are 250 in that posse I just found out.
The posse. Anytime you are in something called a posse, you are engaging in a stupid activity. Grown men. These are grown men. Presumably educated to some degree, although they are currently in the South, so you can draw your own conclusions. And where are they from originally?
Arizona.
Isn't Arizona like the South?
Well, it used to be part of Mexico.
Where is Arizona? Is Arizona on the border of, that borders Mexico, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
So that's like the South.
There's Arizona, New Mexico. Actually, it's Southwest.
Well, whatever, but I mean, it's down there, isn't it?
Well, it's not considered a southern state.
Well, you know, I never understand the southern state thing anyway, because you know what they... Florida's south, but nobody really thinks of Florida when you talk about the south. Like, when you talk about the south in terms of, like, boy, those people in the south, you don't ever really think of Florida. Florida does exist in its own sort of galaxy, though. It is kind of its own... It's the... Florida is like the sometimes why of states, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not really a southern state in the way that, like, you think of, like, Alabama. Mississippi is being southern states, but it's not really a normal state either.
Well, Florida is adjacent to Alabama, part of it.
All I'm saying is I don't really think of Arizona as being the South, but clearly it's got its share of stupid people.
They're allowed to circulate down there.
Anytime you are a grown person taking part in something called a posse, you are deeply stupid and ought not to contribute to the gene pool. And I'm going to tell Ed McCarthy that, see if he can do something about it. What else? We got today's top five. Top five most irritating lead singers of all time is determined by you, the Rick Emerson audience.
I already know number one.
What? Okay.
Should I guess?
Why don't you guess? You can say it. Guess.
Scott Stapp.
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Maybe the list will surprise you. This is a list voted on, by the way, by the people who went to my MySpace page. If you are of a mind to vote in such things, you should be a friend of the Rick Emerson MySpace experience thing.
How does somebody find that?
I don't know. You go to my page. Go to rickemerson.com. The thing that says Rick on MySpace. You click on that. Okay. Anyway, later on, top five most irritating singers of all time. We'll do another installment of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. That's all coming up and so forth. We'll talk about Sarah's therapist. Hold on right here. Therapy. Let's see. Bra. Therapy.
What?
Vomit. Nothing. I'm just making a little list to myself. All right. Just augmenting my programming matrix for the day. And then we'll talk about this nuclear thing. Nuclear landmark. Nuclear land. Isn't this exciting? You're getting to see the actual workings.
It's behind the curtain.
It really is. You're showing the inner machinations of the Rick Emerson show. Here is the point I was going to make about the bra. Is that I was talking about this co-ed schools versus all-male schools, and co-ed schools are distracting because, again, it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like you get the linoleum in a right light, and it distracts you. Makes you think about sex. You're a teenage boy. It doesn't matter. Especially when I was growing up, because, as I noted, there was this girl who sat next to me in geography class, and, like, the two things, A, pink tank top, bra exposed, like white bra strap exposed. And bra straps are, see, women don't know this. Bra straps are a big turn-on to a guy for the same reason that visible panty lines are a big turn-on. And women work so hard to get rid of visible panty lines, and it's dumb. You shouldn't do that. You should have more
I
panty lines.
I wouldn't say panties over and over again.
Panty, panty, panty. 2x4.
Well, I think you've got to realize there are bras that are meant to, like, there are certain bras that I wear only with, you know, if I intend on showing them.
See, but what a bizarre concept this all is. I remember when Madonna started coming out, now I do sound old, I remember when Madonna started coming out with my, you can see her brassiere! And, of course, she was wearing, like, a huge crucifix as, like, some fetish object. That didn't really help in grinding around on a stage. But
you sound old, right?
Everybody's all horrified that Madonna was showing her, she was showing her under things in public.
In bloomers.
Yeah, you might as well just be saying that.
Seriously. No, I mean, it makes you wonder. I mean, at some point, this just becomes a bad Jeff Foxworthy routine, you know, or whatever. But it does make you wonder about, like, the Little House on the Prairie era people. You know, 150 years ago, I know this sounds like a bad stand-up comedy bit.
Running through the field picking daisies, hoping not to fall.
Attention, dying in a fire. Attention, Steve in Vancouver. Here's some kooky stand-up type observational humor for you.
He's long gone.
I do really wonder, though, because you were pointing this out, that like sixth grade girls just dress like whores now. All of them. They all dress like little sex machines. I don't mean that to sound creepy. It's just true. If you're a parent, you know this. It's like, what did I see that the other day? They're selling the pimp wear for like 10-year-old boys now. 10-year-old boys, yeah. Is a big thing. Pimp in huge letters. A pimp is a man who beats up women when they don't have sex with enough men for money. Okay? I'm just saying, I don't really care because I don't have kids. Hell, send your kids to school dressed in saran wrap, toting guns. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. All I'm saying is it's just strange. So you've got kids dressed up in a very sexual way at a very early age now. When I was a boy, it wasn't that bad. But again, it was enough that like, oh, look at the bra strap on that girl. I really do wonder about like 150 years ago if it was just enough to see some girl's ankle in the Sears Roebuck catalog. And it sounds like a bad stand-up comedy bit, like, you know, Amish porn, wah, wah, wah. And it's like seeing some girl's toes. But, I mean, is it true, do you think? I mean, it's I really do wonder about that.
What was the question?
I wonder if, because it takes...
He's talking about 100 years ago.
Because people are so jaded, sexually jaded now, to where you see a girl with, whatever, cleavage or a miniskirt. It's not all that shocking now. It's not all that titillating. But I really do wonder if 150 years ago, if you just saw, like, some girl's, like...
I just saw her parasol.
Seriously? She's like, I saw the back of her neck. You know, if you just saw, like, a girl's calf, if you're like, oh...
It's like that in other countries with the women who have to wear burkas. I mean, you know, you can't even see a sliver of their skin. If you do, you're a whore.
So is it true, though? Do you think it's a big turn-on? It must be. If you're just like, I saw her cheekbones. You know, and it's just... Whatever. You know, I saw the sole of her foot... And suddenly you know, that's it. It's like that's, you know.
I'm not very familiar with the culture, but I understand that but what I've heard is that if you show any skin whatsoever, it's like being sexually provocative.
Even if it's fascinating.
Like a pinky. Like,
she has soulful eyeballs.
In a way, the mucus on your corneas is very alluring. In a way it must be easy though, because it must, you know, it's like we're not, you know, cause you look at a country like Japan, we're clearly, There's some serious issues going on in Japan. If you've ever taken a look at any of the adult material that comes out of that country, and I know Nate has some of this sitting around the house, which all like tentacle porn and whatnot.
It's weird, and with like cartoons and
what is this?
Weird stuff.
Sailor Moon girl, and she's nude, and then also there's an octopus, and then a guy, you know, with horns, and then a goat, and they're all on the back of a train. And it's, you know, and it's driving through a pink fluffy mountain. And you're like, what am I watching? You're just sitting there watching this Japanese porn going, what? You're looking at the box going, this isn't, it's, you know, this isn't on Golden Blonde. What did they rent me? You know, you have no idea. And they're just in Japan. I don't know what's in their water over there. I don't know if it's like leftover Hiroshima radiation. But in Japan, it's they're clearly a very jaded people sexually. If you look at the things that they require in Japan to become aroused while watching pornography, it's all very strange. Some country where you can buy used panties out of a vending machine is a country that is, they've gone around the bend, I think, in terms of adult entertainment. So.
It's either Janet Reno's.
But bra straps were very alluring as a teenage boy, much like visible panty lines. Because you think about visible panty lines, then you think about panties, then you think about panties and what they are in relation to physically, and then there you go, and you're all set for the day. And the other great thing, this is, we're talking about co-ed schools is where this all started. The other distracting thing when you were a teenage boy, this was during the summer months, and you boys all know this, you all remember this happening, is where the girl would have like the, what is it, like a two-layer tank top, like a halter top, and then like a tank top underneath it or something or whatever, you know, or sometimes just a really roomy halter top. And she, you would sit next to her, and sometimes she would reach up to, like, get something off the desk, and you would totally see in the sleeve, and you'd see the side of the brassiere.
Yeah, well, that was cool when I was really young. So you might have been in...
That's cool now.
No, like, wearing a... Well, or wearing the sports bra. That's what we would do on track. And then wearing, like, a loose tank top over it.
Yeah, guys are all over that. So, but like, it didn't seem like single-gender schools are any better, because then you're just going to be sitting the whole time, there's no girls, there's no girls, there's no girls. When are they going to get girls? I wish I could see a girl. And
there are Friday night mixers.
Friday night mixers. Mm-hmm. Are those like socials?
They are.
Now, is that what they
do? You're paired up with someone of your own economic background.
How do they do? Okay, let's stop. A, at your prep school, there were mixers. Did they truck in girls from another county?
No.
Was there a girls' school down the road?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And well, so on the other side of town.
And so they would bring in girls.
No, you went to their location.
So they would put you on a bus. And they would take you to where the girls were.
Or your parents would drop you off.
It's also horrifying. And then you would, what, dance?
Dance.
Did you, so you...
Did
so,
you get set up on a date?
Were you
like,
arranged?
Did they pair you guys off by two?
Yes, off
you
to work.
Did you have a dowry? So they would
I did
set,
not.
So they would set you up with somebody in equal financial status?
Well, within your social class.
Did you grow up in feudal Japan?
No, I grew up in New England.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean...
This is a girl of good stock and breeding. Look at her length of bone. What is that?
Absolutely. Well, this is long, long ago.
This is such a confusing
thing. They didn't want you mixing with people from public schools.
I don't understand anything.
Well, that's because you didn't go to a private school.
I did go to a private school, but it was not.
So did you go to a private school or did you go to a boarding school? Like, were you gone?
No, I went home at the end of the day.
Okay.
I mean, I went to a private school, but it was... sort of a low-class, low-rent, D-class A private school. So
yeah, me too.
All right, and then you would dance, and then...
Then you went home.
So you had
a list of books to read.
You would... So you had to go home and read Beowulf. So you would dance with girls.
Beowulf was on the list, yes.
You would dance with girls. Mm-hmm. You got to go home and read The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Go! You would... Mm-hmm. So you would dance with girls, and then all the boys get all weirded out and horned up, and then they would just stick you on a butt. Now you go back to the bunk.
Yes.
Back to the bunk to read the Knights of the Round Table. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a whole lot of weirdness in New England, and I think I know where it all comes from now. I think I know where the Kennedys come from. All right. It's just strange. I mean, it's no better at my school. Except the bottom line here, let me bottom line this for you. This whole, where was this debate about the single gender schools? Was it here?
Camas. In Washington, which is an upscale community, I hear. But if you go to their downtown area, there's this big belching paper plant.
Camas is not an upscale anything. Camas here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, quick check. Someone call me right now. Is Camas considered an upscale anything?
They have very high real estate.
It's an upscale prices. Aberdeen is what it is. It's 503-733-2970.
No,
are you going to become a slumlord in Camas? Is that your next takeover?
Our former general manager had a very expensive
Ron Carter?
Yeah.
Well, what's a very expensive home in Camas?
Multi-million dollars.
Like the windows all have the glass in them still? All right, well, whatever. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Is Camas upscale?
Yes.
See?
What, really?
One part of it is very upscale.
What, is it like one home?
Home.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Right. You mean I'm right?
I'm not saying. I just thought maybe you were repeating something you'd read. I don't doubt your credentials as a news person.
You don't know about real estate.
Oh, that's right. You are. That's right. You are a burgeoning real estate magnate. Yes. Rick Emerson Show, is Camas upscale?
Oh, no. No.
The hell no.
No. No, it would be considered up the mountain if it wasn't so low.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. Is Camas upscale?
If you live in Washougal.
All right.
But if Tri-Cities is the right armpit of Washington,
yes.
Camas is the left.
All right. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. All right. There you go. Okay. So the bottom line is this. You people in Camas are talking about single gender schools.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they won't be distracted by actual physical girls, because they won't come out and say it, but that's what this is about. This is about boys who can't concentrate because they're looking at the bosoms of the girl next to them. That's really what this is. So all they're going to be doing is looking at bosoms in their mind. That's all it is. They'll just become virtual mental bosoms at that point. So there's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. All right, and we're done with that.
Well, that was really live and local.
It really was. Do you know how
we get that up a bird?
No, it's becoming relatable, Tim, to the local audience. Mm-hmm. It's what we do here at the Rick Emerson Show, based in Portland, Oregon.
It makes me feel good just talking about it.
On AM970 Solid State Radio, where people come first. 503-733-2972. Do we have to break here?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me check this off. We got bra then. Bra. Coming up next, therapy and vomit. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. We continue after this. We got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy coming up, and we'll talk about embarrassing Minutemen coming to your town soon. Later on, we got today's top five most irritating singers of all time. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Emerson Show from Boston, little Aerosmith here. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson program, live from beautiful Portland, Oregon. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up, we got more from the city. That's Tim Riley, TV Tonight. And we'll do Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. And we'll talk about, therapy and vomit. Both of them vis-a-vis the lovely Sarah Dillon, who looks radiant despite her rampant food sickness today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be joined now, shall we? Let's be together. Let us all be as one with Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. How are you, sir?
Rick, how are you?
I am fantastic. Are you in a speakerphone?
No.
Okay. Are you inside a metal box?
I am not. We have a good connected phone line today.
Oh, very strange. Speaking of very strange, let me ask you this. Look, I'm here in the Northwest, and I lived through several embarrassing things with the people who are in this part of the country here in the Northwest. We had the Freeman in Montana, bunch of idiots living in a trailer. We had Randy Weaver up at Ruby Ridge, a guy selling sawed-off shotguns and wondering why the FBI wants to talk to him. We had the Aryan Nations. We had the Order going out and robbing adult bookstores and killing talk show hosts and whatever. I thought those days were behind us and we weren't going to have to deal with people like this anymore. And then I pick up this CNN thing. Look, I understand that this country's got problems, but who are these Minutemen people, and what are they caravanning for? What is there's something wrong with them, isn't there?
You know, I really think that these guys are kind of regrouping, that those are the guys, because we were talking about that a week ago in the newsroom, a little conversation saying, remember in the 80s, and I realized that these guys are pretty much, I think, the same group that are getting together now.
They seem crazy. And don't get me wrong, I understand that there are problems.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. No, there are problems in this country with immigration, legal and otherwise. There's all kinds of social issues. We've all got concerns. Getting a bunch of idiots in a pickup truck and traveling across the country and calling yourself a posse is not, it's embarrassing to the rest of us, first of all, and it doesn't seem like you're going to be solving a squat.
There are some in the group that are talking about immigration as a problem that has been neglected in this country. That, you know, you can understand as an argument, because that's the government who just kind of turned an eye here,
sure,
and just said, yep, let's wink a little bit, and, you know, they're in. And that's what's happened. There, I talked to a guy last night who absolutely scared me. Absolutely scared me. This guy said to me, he says, you know, he says, we have people in this country who are different. And I'm thinking, well, I think, you know, we maybe all are a little bit different. And, you know, that's what, you know, makes the boat float a little bit here.
Yeah, I think that guy's different in a... in a needs a helmet and rides the small bus kind of way.
This was a real radical fellow who said, you know, we got to impeach George Bush. We got to impeach them all in Congress, you know, and make them accountable. And it was quite an experience last night. And then you had them yelling from a block away, the people that were the counter demonstrators. And finally they were on their way, and they went to, I think they should be in Richmond by about now, and then they're going to head Friday to Washington.
What are they doing? Are they on tour or something? It's
a tour.
It's a road show of some kind?
They have signs on the side of their vans, and they ride around and, you know, hit horns, and, you know, it's just a real noisy thing. They're just trying to pick up people along the way.
You can always tell, and again, look, I know this country's got issues, and everybody, people with solutions, you know, that's all fine and well and good and dandy, but you can always spot these nutcases, because they always give off, there's always a few things they do, and first of all, the biggest indication that you are dealing with a group of whack jobs is that it's always just dudes. It's always just some ordinary guy. You know, last week he was swinging a hammer somewhere, and now he's in a posse. And they always use that lingo. They're always using the military lingo, cop lingo, Revolutionary War lingo, except none of them are actually cops or in the military.
They'll give you numbers. They'll say, our numbers are growing, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to do this. And I looked at it last night, and I saw 50 people out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's like here in the Northwest, where in this place called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where occasionally you would have this, where the idiot Klan guys, or the idiot Aryan Nation guys, we're going to get together and show our number. And it's always like three guys and like a flea-bitten dog. You know, that's it, man. There's nothing. It's just a whole lot of numbskulls, you know, that think that they're bigger and more impressive than they really are. And I guess we got to ride this out, and in a couple years these idiots will be gone again. But I don't understand exactly what it is they're doing.
They're going to Washington, and they think they're somehow going to head to the Capitol and let the senators and the congressmen know, the representatives, that, you know, they're there and they have the numbers, and, you know, you better do what we want to do, or, you know, we're going to vote you out.
No, that's not really going to work. This is going to be like that time I tried to go to Jennifer Aniston's house, and the gate just, I knocked at the gate, and the guy said, Miss Aniston isn't home, go away. That's it, man. They're going to tell these guys to pack it. So, all right.
At least I admire your courage for trying that, though.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. He who dares wins, Ed. Well, and I admire you for having the intestinal fortitude to talk to these guys and to pretend like you actually care what they're saying.
You know, it might have cut their numbers yesterday. I've got to tell you this story real quick, because I know you've got to go.
But no. Go ahead.
They had a shooting across the street from the courthouse. Remember the Atlanta courthouse shootings?
Right.
I had some idiot in there with a 9mm, and I went and, you know, I'm on my way down to cover this thing, and I'm in having dinner in a restaurant, and the guy says, yeah, across the street there. He says, the guy fired off 7 shots. He says, you could hear him in the garage. Now, whether he fired at somebody and shot the guy and the guy took off, they don't know. The guy's been uncooperative. But I'm thinking, what a world this has become.
This is not the way to increase your membership roles.
Well, it wasn't them. They had no connection to them.
Oh, I see. All right. So it's just a strange place you live in, Ed, and this whole country is just getting stranger by the day.
And you were right about that with the gas prices, because, you know, you were saying the gunshots could start flying. You never know.
This is what I'm saying right now, though. You ought to be, you could be one of those guys where there's some sort of brawl, some sort of fight, some sort of gunplay at the gas pumps, and then you can create one of those supermarket Insta books about it.
There you go.
Like, you call it, fuel frenzy or gas pump gore or diesel deaths. I'm telling you right there, that's the key to riches for you. And then you can leave behind this whole CNN business.
Blast at the pump.
Yeah, there you go. I'm saying. All right, Ed McCarthy, thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Ed McCarthy, CNN Radio, Atlanta. I got to get that guy a some sort of a theme song or something. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See, Ed McCarthy, that's a man who appreciates my wit.
Yes.
Do you notice, by the way, that they don't even list Pat St. Clair anymore? Pat St. Clair, not even listed on the rolls.
Maybe she's got on to greener pastures.
I think her thwarted love for me, it just drove her from the business. She's not even listed here anymore. I'm just saying. All right. Jim Roop's gone, too. I think he's just on vacation, though. I don't think you can be fired from that job.
No.
I think once you're the CNN, like CNN Radio, I think it's just like a job for life there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the city desk. It's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Tim Riley reporting. Thousands of fans line the red carpet in Aberdeen to welcome Tom Cruise.
Red carpet in Aberdeen. What, do they pull it up out of a Shakey's somewhere?
It must have been. He went to the small Washington town for the premiere of Mission Impossible 3. After resident Kevin McCoy won an online contest for a private screening. Now, to win, Kevin, who's a Walmart employee, answered 5 trivia questions, probably with the help of his coworkers. The 27-year-old invited 150 friends for the showing at the South Shore Mall. Cruise surprised the crowd by bringing fiancé and new mom Katie Holmes along. The pair spent more than an hour walking on the red carpet and signing autographs before heading into the theater.
I wish we'd known this in advance. We could have had somebody go to Aberdeen. We should have planted some news person there. We should have done something. You know, I was thinking the other day, thinking about Aberdeen, not really so much, but I was thinking about Cosmopolis. And I was thinking that this program, that ought to be our field trip. We really ought to do a field trip to Cosmopolis. How great would it be?
That's a great idea.
The Rick Emerson Show, live from Cosmopolis. The city of tomorrow. It would be fantastic.
We really need to put this field trip idea into action because it's starting to get nice.
We did it once before. We went to Safeco Field to broadcast live. No one had any idea who we were.
You guys got to. Matt and I were stuck in the studio.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Can you go stand outside in the rain in Seattle at the sport event
we're
you don't care
you
about?
Doing a radio show that nobody can hear.
Doing a radio. It's all coming back to me now. Yeah, this is the last time we did any sort of a field trip. Nah, never mind. I'll make a note of it here. We'll talk about it when we're done. Hold on. Therapy, vomit, Safeco. All right, excellent. And Safeco, Cosmopolis. All right, go ahead. Here's Tim Riley.
The Rolling Stones want everyone to know that Keith Richard hasn't suffered any brain damage.
How would you know? How would you be able to tell? I mean, really, Keith Richards, he's just a trained baboon at this point. I mean, that's all he is, man. You roll him out of his sarcophagus. What's the gig, man? And play Start Me Up. Okay, man. You know, and then he'd come and shoot heroin into his eyeballs and pack him away in dry ice at the end of the gig.
Meanwhile, it was 39 years ago that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards went to court on drug charges. Police raided Mr. Richards' mansion, and there they found... Oh, apparently something used for the purpose of smoking cannabis. 4 tablets containing, 4 big words I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
Hold on.
Yeah, here you go.
Where is this?
This is
amphetamines, I don't even know what.
See that? That's 39 years ago.
Some sort of goofballs or happy pills.
It's been going around for a while. A group of 5 Huntsville, Alabama students have been suspended for forcing a homeless man to disrobe and walk around school naked as part of a prank. 4 seniors and 1 junior forced Jim Shields to stand naked in school. The report said Shields remained in the hallway naked. Apparently, they stole his pants. The seniors are also barred from awards day ceremonies. Also, the senior class picnic and suspended from graduation ceremonies. These youngsters use poor judgment and they must suffer.
They must suffer terribly. They must bleed. We want blood. Someone tell me, you guys are good judges of character here. We've known each other for quite some time. We're familiar with each other's personal quirks and tics and so forth. I wonder sometimes, because you have that whole thing about, you know, what is that thing Churchill said, that if you are not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you are not a conservative at 40, you have no brain, blah, blah, blah. And it's this whole thing that as people get older, they get more conservative.
Yeah.
I like to think that that's not the case. Sometimes I like to think that I'm remaining liberal and progressive, that I'm continuing to be a big take no guff bleeding heart even into my advanced age. So I don't know. Am I actually becoming more conservative or what? Because here's why I ask this. Because, like, my reaction, what are these kids? These high school, are they in high school?
High school, yes.
They ought to know better. Look, you swallow goldfish, fine. You disassemble some buddy's Volkswagen Bug, you put it in a tree, that's great. You, whatever. You know, every summer the trees are filled with underwear. Every Christmas the toilets explode. You know, whatever. That's all fine and good. You're forcing a guy who's homeless to take off his pants and walk around school nude. And my first impulse is just to say that those kids ought to be tied to a fence and beaten savagely. And I mean, and then I start to think, have I just become everything I once despised? Et tu, Rick Emerson? Et tu, but you know what? There's some kids that just ought to have a bat taken to them. You know what I mean? And that's just, it's shit. I don't know whether that's just me, whether I've just become the aged and conservative. Or there's kids who just ought to be flogged senseless. Little bastards. String them up by their Buster Browns.
Meanwhile, on the television tonight, teen thrill killers. Some teens kill for thrills or to satisfy curiosities. Even Stevens' movie stars Shia LaBeouf. Family unwittingly appears on a reality TV show.
Now, Shia LaBeouf sounds like a female porn star.
Now, maybe so.
Zing!
But that's on the Disney Channel.
It's a great movie.
And what is it, the Even Stevens?
Stevens movie.
Mm-hmm. Is that from a TV series?
Yeah, that we had this conversation yesterday.
No, we didn't. I wasn't here.
Yeah. It's a Even Stevens. He played Lewis Stevens.
Okay.
Hey, remember this 10-year-old disaster movie, Twister? It's back on TV again.
Oh, God. That's the worst film. It's the worst movie. Never let the guy who's your art director direct an actual film, because when you put Jan de Bont in charge of directing a movie, that's what you get.
Also tonight on Mythbusters, the chicken gun. Launching a chicken from an airplane.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's it.
There you go. And we're done. That's it. We're finished.
I do have one more story from school.
Do one more, and then we'll do Enemy of the People, and then we'll break, and we'll do the top five.
Tainted cookies is the crime a Maine mother is facing after accusation she helped her kids bake ex-lax treats. Julie Hunt allegedly helped her daughter and two others make the cookies with laxative in them and is facing a single count of misdemeanor assault. They ended up in the Kerrebec County School, where four students got sick. Officials say the cookies were left on the desk of the teacher, who gave one of the girls a bad grade, but the instructor share them with students.
Okay, A, here's the thing. I don't understand. If you were a teacher, and we were talking about teachers yesterday. Is Sarah's mom is a Spanish teacher, a substitute Spanish teacher in manner? Your mom is Peggy Hill.
She's not a substitute teacher anymore.
Okay, but I mean, she's a Spanish teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so great. It's like a whole Peggy Hill thing. Not that you, I think of your mom in that way.
No,
she's
so
a sainted woman.
Well, because she loves speaking in Spanish. So she always meets in Mexican restaurants. And she
she's the embarrassing speak in Spanish
yes,
person.
And
Clyde
she's like,
does
the person,
that.
Yeah, the person will come up and be like, hello, how are you? She's like, oh, muy bien, y tú?
Oh, I'm embarrassed for you just hearing the story.
No, every time. And she gets mad at my sister and I when we don't speak in Spanish. And we don't know how to.
How is that possible?
I could be like, I would like the burrito.
Is she embarrassed by you because you can't speak Spanish?
She
are you
the
family shame?
No, my sister can't either.
Really? You're like whatever. You're like the athlete's kid that can't throw the ball.
Yeah, we both can't speak it.
No, that's embarrassing. Look, don't be stupid. If somebody speaks to you in English, speak back to them in English. Don't try to show off. Clyde does the same thing, though. Here's the difference. At least your mom can speak Spanish. Clyde could speak Spanish once long ago because he went to Buenos Aires. As he apparently is required to pronounce it. But here's the thing. A, he only knows how to talk about Jesus and the Mormons. And B, that was like 40 years ago. And so, I'll never forget this. When we were in some Mexican restaurant, guy comes over. Hi, my name's Ted. I'll be your client. Hello, gracias. Hola, ¿cómo está? You know, and he's totally trying to bust out that, and we're all trying to sink underneath the table. And Clyde is drunk, of course, and he's trying to have, I mean, this was back when Clyde drank.
Long before he became an educator.
Yes, he's...
Now he just drinks vodka. Remember, it's carb-free. Made from potatoes.
No, he's trying to talk. I mean, even I know what a cabeza is. That's your head. Clyde kept calling it cabooses. He's all, loco in his cabooses. Or whatever. I mean, even I know that's not true.
Not accurate.
Anyway, yeah, don't do that. Some guy says hello. Just say hello back. Quit trying to be Sharpie McSmart. All right. In any event, what was I doing? Well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970, but we had this story about how half of all teachers quit within the first 5 years. This mom baking the Ex-Lax cookies, two things. A, if pranks were songs, that'd be a gold. That's a power recurrent. That's one of those things they were doing like 80 years ago. That's one of those things that's attacking the chair. It's a classic. It'll never go out of style. B, if you were a teacher, why would you ever eat, drink, consume, touch, feel, allow to be near your skin, anything that any student ever gave you? You know what I mean? Don't you just assume that your kids are little bastards who are trying to poison you? If I was a teacher, I'd just go to work in a big Devo biohazard suit every day, and I wouldn't touch anything. I wouldn't touch anything. As I ever left the room, I'd come back and I'd hose everything off with Lysol. Don't trust the kids. They're little bastards. All of them. Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Look, if you were at school and a kid came
Craig,
and goes,
we don't need to talk about them longer.
Dylan, would you like these cookies? Would you eat those? No, you would not. No,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, here's what's coming up. Top five most irritating singers of all time. City Desk, Vomit, Safeco Field, Cosmopolis, and this nuclear landmark, and so forth. That's what's coming up. Note that I, out of taste and sensitivity, have not talked about the worst foods to eat or to think about other people eating while you are sick from food poisoning.
Very
Sarah
nice.
Dillon.
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Do you want to do the Enemy of the People?
Ready to go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a strong response to it yesterday. It's time for the second edition of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. All right. This is for the magazine people, not the people in magazines, not the people who read magazines. No. This is directed at the pea-brained marketing mongoloids who put the magazines together. Let us start at the beginning. The latest issue of GQ has lots to be excited about. A beautiful woman on the cover, tips on electronics and exercise, even some fashion advice if that's the sort of thing you're into. I know all this from the front cover. Of course, I can't tell you what the material actually is inside the magazine because I can't find the goddamn table of contents. Where is it? Must be here somewhere, right? I mean, you wouldn't create a magazine that has no directory or index, would you? Oh, wait, here it is. Right between 15 pages of ads for things I will now never purchase. New episodes of Lost on my iPod? No. Special members-only access to the GQ website? No. DKNY jeans that make me look like an emaciated Coke fiend? I wasn't going to buy those anyway, but no! In fact, here's the sound of me ripping out those 15 pages and throwing them away. Here's a little tip. Don't try and fool me into reading your ads. Don't try and trick, swindle, or scam me. If you make a good magazine, if I want to support it, I will. When people like your product, they're more inclined to seek out those people or services that make your product possible. When people can't find the friggin' table of contents because you buried it in 45 pages of Calvin Klein underwear advertisements, it becomes clear that you don't care whether they actually enjoy your magazine or not. The only ray of sunshine is that within 15 years, your industry will be gone, and I won't have these complaints anymore. The other thing I won't have anymore is hands that smell like the Moulin Rouge. Quit filling your magazine with things that smell. I've got a cologne. All guys do. Same one we've been using for 19 years. We're predictable. We're stable. We find something. We stick with it. And even if we decide to change, giving us samples on a piece of cardboard jammed between two Old Navy ads isn't going to help. And finally, speaking of pieces of cardboard, it is now 2006. Man is on the moon. We can see into the furthest reaches of the cosmos and the Big Bang. We can operate on the human brain using lasers. We can modify the molecular structure of animals. There is no longer any reason to jam cardboard renewal slips into every magazine you publish. I will never again subscribe to a periodical using a little white postcard with a picture of a playmate on it, if for no other reason than I don't want to encourage you. Give me a website. Give me a discount. Give me something my grandfather wasn't using to subscribe to Musket Lovers Weekly. Just do things better. That's all we ask. Try not to, you know, irritate us at every turn with everything you do. Because as it stands right now, Mr. Magazine Marketing Guy, you are an enemy of the people, and you will pay. Thank you. Rick Emerson Show continues next on AM 970, Solid State Radio.